What I'd like you to do is first turn to Hebrews. I think it's chapter 11. I'm going to find out very quickly. Actually, it's not chapter 11. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it is. It is chapter 11. Yes, it is chapter 11. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. When you think you know what you're looking for, and you know you're up there and you're trying to make a good impression on people and so forth, and you're looking and you know it's supposed to be there, but it's not there, then suddenly you realize, you know, you're like in the wrong chapter. You need to turn one more page over, and whew, thank you, Jesus. You're so glad He didn't take it out of the Bible right when you were supposed to preach. In Hebrews chapter 11, you know, this is the faith chapter. By faith this one, and by faith that one, and by faith the other one. Some people have referred to Hebrews chapter 11 as the Faith Hall of Fame because of the wonderful testimonies that are in there. But all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 are Old Testament people. And we're not going to go into a lot of detail here in all of this, but Hebrews 11 is in here to try to help the body of Christ understand who it is, or who we are, or what we is. In other words, you know, it talked about all these different things. This one did that, this one did that, this one did that. But now let's take a look here. In verse 39, after reading about all these things that these people did, it says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." Who is the they? Well, that's the chapter 11 faith people, right? The heroes of faith. Who is the us? Well, that's us. And it says that all the, and these all, who are the these all in verse 39? The chapter 11 faith heroes. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they," Hebrews 11 faith heroes, "without us," those of us who are here today, "should not be made perfect," that they without us, should not be made perfect. Okay? So let's pretend. The first part of our pretend is not a pretend, it's a reality, in that every one of you here tonight, everybody listening to this by tape or by radio broadcast, whichever, you have a call of God on your life. Now, you may be an apostle, maybe an evangelist, I don't know, but you have a call of God upon your life. You are not called to be nursery worker. You are not called to be parking lot attendant. You have a call, a ministry calling of God upon your life. And each one of you are in various stages of understanding that calling and fulfilling that calling. However, regardless of what you're called to be, whatever that ministry calling is, each of us has responsibility to understand God's Word, do we not? Let's put this another way. Just because you're an evangelist does not mean that you're not supposed to understand the Word of God. Or just because you're a prophet does not mean that you aren't supposed to understand the Word of God. The Word of God has been given to the body of Christ for us to understand it. In fact, when Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, when he's talking about the mysteries and how they've been revealed to us now and revealed by His Spirit and so on and so forth, he didn't make a distinction relative to the call. He identified the body of Christ in general. So that no matter who you are as far as an individual, and no matter what you are as far as your calling, you have a responsibility to understand God's Word. Understanding God's Word is going to help you fulfill what you're called to do. So let's put this another way. Just for example's sake. An evangelist is going to understand truth from the perspective of an evangelist. Now, it's the same truth that the teacher will understand, but the evangelist understands it from the perspective of an evangelist. The teacher understands it from the perspective of the teacher, the apostle from the perspective of the apostle, the prophet as the prophet, and so on and so forth. It does not mean that there is different truth for each calling. What it means is that when an evangelist sees something, the evangelist is going to see, evangelize in everything, somehow, some way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I know we could go into a lot of, you know, more detail on this. A teacher, speaking from experience, a teacher is going to see a whole lot that is extremely intriguing. Now, I don't know, maybe because I'm a teacher, I can't understand why anybody would want to be an evangelist. Being a teacher is the most exciting thing in the whole wide world. But you know what an evangelist is going to say? Being an evangelist is the most exciting thing in the whole wide world. Well, for an evangelist, that's true. And when the evangelist evangelizes, then the teacher is supposed to teach those who've been evangelized. See what I'm saying? So I cannot evangelize like the evangelist. And I cannot prophetize like the prophet. But I can teach like the teacher. You see what I'm saying? Yet, all truth is going to be the same. There will not be variations of the truth. It's all going to be the same. With that in mind, what we just read here in Hebrews 11, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." What does that mean? Now, this is not, we're not opening up for discussion. Just in your mind here, think, what does that mean? Verses 39 and 40, what do they mean? In 10 minutes, I'm going to call on somebody to stand up here and teach this. Not really. I can see the sweat starting to beat up on your brows. No, I just said that because we need to know what it means. Do we not? They, without us, should not be made perfect. What in the world is this talking about? So, well, Brother Martin, do you know? Yes, I do. Brother Martin, are you going to tell us? No, I'm not. Not tonight. However, if you hang around on a few Sunday mornings, you just may find out. Now, here's what I'm getting at. You've been a Christian how many years? And out of those years, how long have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And out of those years, how long have you understood about praying in tongues? And I'm guessing that the whole time from day one of being a Christian all the way up to right now, you've had a Bible, correct? And these verses have been in the Bible the whole time. Now, if you don't know what they mean, is that a good or a bad thing? Well, both, you know? From the perspective that you can't know everything immediately, it's a growing process. So you may understand some verses that I'm not clear on these verses yet. Somewhere else in the Bible. Maybe somewhere else in Hebrews. Maybe somewhere else in this chapter, this 11th chapter. You may understand some things in there that I don't yet understand. Well, verses 39 and 40, what is it about those verses that you do or do not understand? Now, maybe you understand them very clearly. It could stand up and take the next hour, and I mean detail these verses out in such a way that when we leave, it's like, glory to God, what revelation. Then again, you may think, oh, Brother Martin, please do not ask me. Give me 10 years. Then maybe, just maybe, I'll be able to do this. Well, whether you know or whether you don't know, bottom line is, there should come a day in our lives that we do know. Are you with me? How are we going to get to that point? Okay? Now let's think of it another way. come at this from a different perspective, different angle. You have a call of God on your life. No matter what that call is, you're supposed to understand Scripture. God knows that understanding Scripture is a process, line upon line, precept upon precept. And He talks about the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. So obviously, we're supposed to go through a process, a gradual process of learning. We start off with the easy milk stuff. And then we're supposed to go up to the, you know, like the strained peas, okay? And then we go from strained peas to, you know, whatever comes next. I don't know. But eventually, we're supposed to be at steak, okay? That process goes hand in hand with your calling. Every one of us is supposed to be doing something to discover and fulfill that call. Now, I could go through the room and start naming names, and I could say, okay, now, you know, you are called to be something. And so, do you know what that is? And you are called to be something. Do you know what that is? And on we could go here in this. Some of you have a good idea. Some of you are still struggling. And for those of you that are struggling, you really need to ask yourself, depending upon, you know, how long you've been here, you really need to ask yourself, why are you still struggling? Okay? Now, let me give you one of the reasons that you need to be developing your call. It's not just so you can fulfill it. Here in this church, every call has a role to play. Now, maybe you're called to be an evangelist, and you are going to travel the world and preach the gospel. Nevertheless, if this is your home church, your calling of evangelist is somehow going to impact this church. Now, I don't know how that will be. Time will tell as the ministry, your calling, develops. However, that doesn't change the fact that you're here, and what you're called to be impacts, affects, and touches the lives of all the people who are here and will be here. Now, as far as how that your call, like, interrelates with mine, well, I'm the pastor. And part of my responsibility is to help you discover and become equipped to fulfill your call. The primary way that I do that is through information. I provide you with information. We call it teaching. I deliver to you the information that God has given to me. Then you take that information and you apply it to your life, and the change takes place. Now, I can safely say, regardless of how many people do or do not attend this church, I can safely say that the information I give you is going to help you. Specifically in four areas: prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. So as long as I am stressing those areas and I am pointing you to do those things, then I am giving you 100% pure, unadulterated, accurate, doctrinal, theological truth. That's because I'm not telling you to rest on me. I'm telling you to rest on Him and develop in that call. But one of the reasons that you need to do that, among many, has to do with you being here. Now, let's think about this. We know approximately how many people call this their home church. And praise God for the day when everybody shows up at the same time. Hallelujah. Everybody here has a call. But you know what? Let's multiply that number of people by 2. Now let's multiply it by 3. And in your mind, you know, you visualize people sitting in here. That many people multiply. Let's multiply it by 5. Now, how many of those people multiplied just by five, okay? How many of those people do you think I'm going to be able to work with on an individual basis to help them discover and fulfill their call? Percentage-wise, not too many. You know why? Because if I were trying to work with everyone multiplied by five, they'd be lined up out the door every day, and all I'd be doing is meeting with people. See what I'm saying? So how do they get their help? If I'm the pastor, how do those people, the multiplied by five, how do those people get their help? Look at somebody that's sitting next to you and say, you're the answer. Now look at the person who just said that to you and say, don't lay that on me. That's what it is. You're the answer. Do you remember how that Moses was trying to do everything and Jethro, his father-in-law, came along, brought his wife Ellie Mae? Somebody once accused me of having too much fun. Well, I stand guilty. His father-in-law, Jethro, shows up. And he says, Mose, you can't handle this, man. It's going to put you in an early grave. Now, I'm paraphrasing. Moses says, what do I do? And Jethro says, man, you need some people under you to deal with these issues. Well, anyway, long story short, Moses ended up having people under him. And really, it's the first time that we see a judicial system in Scripture. You had Moses, the Supreme Court. Then you had the district courts under him. And then under the district courts, you had the state courts. And under the state courts, you had the county courts. And under the county courts, you had the city courts. I mean, that's not what it was in Scripture. You know what I'm getting at. But that's the first time we see a judicial system in Scripture. And so what it was, this tier, and it was like a pyramid, really, they handled these problems. Okay, now let's come back here to us. We're not talking about problems. What we're talking about has to do with people fulfilling their call. Here's the role that you play. You are supposed to be maturing in your call so that somebody comes to me and says, remember, we're talking the multiplied by five now. We're not even at multiplied by ten. We're talking multiplied by five. One of the multiplied by five people comes to me and says, Pastor, I want to know what God's calling me. What do? What's my calling? I want to fulfill this calling. And I look at Mr. Multiplied by Five, and I say, well, you know what? You need to go see Judy. Judy will help you. Judy will do for you exactly what I would do for you. Now, really, I shouldn't have used Judy because I wouldn't send a man to a woman. I would send him to Barry. And when Sister Susie, multiplied by five Susie, comes to me and says, what do? I would say, well, okay, well, Judy or Martha or Jenny or, you know, with me. In other words, you're supposed to be growing spiritually to the point that you will be able to do for the multiplied by three, six, ten, whatever people, what I can do for you. There should be no difference whatsoever. Say, yeah, but Brother Martin, yeah, I'm not you. I know you're not me. But truth is truth, is it not? So therefore, whatever truth that we have from God's Word that we can take and apply to our lives that will cause us to change, mature, conform to the image of Christ, whatever that is we see in Scripture, whatever principles those principles are going to hold true whether I'm the one that tells it to somebody else or you tell it to somebody else. It's going to work the same. You know what? In many churches, in fact, I really believe that I could go as far as to say most all churches This concept is lost on the leadership. And the reason that I believe it's lost on the leadership is, in some cases, you have pastors that are, they're dealing with some pride, and they're afraid of the callings of other people. I've seen this before. Well, you don't have to be. You know, if you handle things right, then the callings that exist in other people's lives only enhance what you're called to do as a pastor. But then we have so many pastors that they just don't understand this. And this is why a lot of Christians are attending churches. It's like they're living their whole lives and they don't have a clue. Well, here I am. I'm giving you a clue. And I'm passing these things on to you. And I'm sitting back knowing that I cannot do it for you. But I know that even tonight in this room, it's very possible that we do have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all represented in this room. I know that's very possible. Well, the frustrating thing on my end is waiting for people to make a decision that they're going to do something and grow into that calling, mature into that calling. Because I'm going to say something that maybe a lot of pastors don't say to the congregations. I don't know. I don't go to a whole lot of churches. Hallelujah. But I'm going to say this. I need you. And I don't think some of you realize how much I do need you. If I'm pastoring this church, and I'm supposed to help you fulfill your call, do you understand? There's a reason for you fulfilling that call and maturing into it and operating in it. It's because of the role that you're going to play here. I need you spiritually mature and developing in your calling. It doesn't matter. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, it doesn't matter. Because whatever it takes for you to mature into your calling is what it's going to take for somebody else to mature in their calling. But as you're maturing, the calling begins identifying itself. So as far as prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, there is no apostle prayer or prophet word or pastor fast. You know what I'm saying? It's prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. And what it does is cause whatever gift, whatever calling that God has for you, it causes that thing to start to come out. It causes it to start to develop. So if you're called to be a teacher and you start doing these things, you know what? Teach is going to start to come out. And you're going to start seeing things in God's Word. And you're going to have this, like this thing on the inside of you that you want to teach it. And sometimes you can get obnoxious about it. Because you want to bug people and make them sit down and listen to you. Because you've got something good and you know it's good. So no matter what your calling is, this thing is going to start coming forth. Now I need you to do this. Because I need you to be ready to help other people when they come in. Do you remember there in Acts chapter 6 where there was this issue of, you know, people being fed and so on and so forth. And the apostle said, look, we don't have time to wait tables, serve tables. You know, we've got to give ourselves to prayer and the Word. And so they ended up having people to help out serve the tables. One of those people was Stephen. What did Stephen do? I mean, he went, like in about three verses, he went from serving tables to miracles and death. They stoned him, remember? That's not what we're after. Hallelujah. Eliminate the stoning part. Or after the other part. I need you maturing into your calling so that when people want to tie me up with time, want to take my time and tie it up with their lives, not because they're bellyachers or complainers, but because they want to grow in the Lord. They want to know what their calling is and they want to fulfill that calling. I'm going to be able to say, go see Teddy. I'm going to be able to say, go see LaFay. I'm going to be able to say, go see, you know, whoever. Because you will be in a position to help them. And it's not just a matter of you being able to help them. I need you to be spiritually in a position so that some, and I know that not everybody's called to this, but those who are, I can use you right here. behind this pulpit?
Doing what, Brother Martin?
Delivering the word. So that I can use you down the road at the Bible college. So that I can send you into churches that want me to come and minister, but I can't for whatever reason, but I can send somebody like Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus. I can send you to, you know, wherever. I need you ready to do this. I need it. We're videoing the services, getting ready to send those out. Do you understand that when I'm telling you right now, when we make the announcement that these videos are ready for distribution, we're going to have requests coming in. And they're going to come in. If we make a full-scale announcement, isn't that almost what I'm doing right now? If we make a full-scale announcement that these videos of our services are available for people that are looking for a church and just can't find one, you know, 100 miles in any direction, I mean, they cannot find a church that's really going to, you know, feed them. And we make that announcement to all of our Bible college students, to all the people on the mailing list that receive the teaching letter, I guarantee you we are going to have requests for those videos coming in from all over the world. I guarantee it. Because I know what requests we've had already from other countries wanting me to come over and help straighten things out, wanting me to come over and help their church get established, wanting me to come over and teach in their church, pastors asking me these things. I can't do it. But you know what? We have people in this church who could do it. But not unless you get yourself in a position spiritually to where I know I can send you. And I can have, you know, brother so-and-so in Nigeria say, Brother Martin, please, please come, please come. And I'm sensing in my heart, we need to do something there. But I can't, I'm not the one. God, who do I send? And he says, send Barry. Or he says, send Wayne and Judy. Or he says, send whoever. Because you're ready to go. And I don't think that what I'm sharing with you tonight, I honestly do not believe that the fullness of what I'm describing has really sunk into a lot of people here at this church. That's what this is about. It's about you being in a position to where you are going to be able to do what God has called you to do, and you are ready. You are ready to go, and I can send you.
But Brother Martin, I have a job.
Oh, ye of little faith. You have a job now. What's it going to be like in 2 years? But Brother Martin, how will I pay my bills? Oh, ye of little faith. You're paying your bills this way now. How do you know the way it's going to be 2 years from now as far as paying your bills? Guys, you've got to look beyond what you see. If you don't, you will never fulfill what God's called you to do. And I'm telling you right now, there are some folks in this church, you feel like you're too old to do anything. And you're,
well, I can't because I'm about 400 years, I just can't do.
You know what? Have you ever considered the fact that God knew you were going to be the age you are before you finally heard this? Have you ever considered how old, that God knew how old you would be before you heard about praying in the Spirit? Are you with me? So, this means that God must have a plan, since He knew this, that means His plan for you must include you not knowing these things until you reached a certain age. And there are some of you guys, you honestly don't think you can do it. For reasons even other than maybe the age. You don't. You really don't think you can do this. You're bound up by the imaginations of your present life, and all you can see is what you wake up to and what you close your eyes to at night when you go. That is all you see. And so therefore, in your mind, you can't figure out how this can happen. Well, you know what? There was a day in my life where I couldn't figure out how I could be in full-time ministry.
There was a day in my life where I did not want to pastor. I didn't.
There was a day in my life where I was frustrated with my life. In fact, there were a lot of days in my life where I was frustrated with my life. I'm not frustrated now. But there were many days, years, where I was frustrated. And the reason I was frustrated was because I really wasn't walking with God the way I should. I wasn't living in sin. I'm talking about, you know, I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living that way, but I was still frustrated. One of the reasons I was frustrated because I didn't hear a message like this. And I'm not casting any blame on any pastor I've ever had. I'm just saying, I never heard anything like this. You know what? A lot of Christians haven't. But you are the exception. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now. I don't care what your situation is right at this moment. Because if you look at your circumstances, you may feel like there is no way anything's going to change and I cannot do what I wish I could do for God. And if that's how you see things right now, and if that is the vision that you're going to hold on to, you know what? You're right. You're not. You aren't going to do squat. Oh, you'll come in, enjoy the services, and you will grow some spiritually. But until you start seeing yourself as being able to do whatever it is that God's called you to do, then you're not going to do it. But Brother Martin, I just don't understand how. You know what? You know what that is? That's the Martha attitude. I don't mean that Martha. I mean, you know, Mary and Martha in the Bible. That's the Martha attitude. You're trying to figure out the details. You didn't know. 5 years ago, you did not know you'd be here tonight. Now, here you are. And another thing, there are some of you who are here tonight, you didn't want to be in this church. You probably had a weird opinion of me. First time you ever heard me teach or preach. You probably didn't know where I was coming from. But now look at you. You're all messed up. But if 5 years ago somebody had asked you for the details on how you were going to be here tonight, could you have given them to... No, you couldn't have. You couldn't have done it. Okay, that's just a small example. I want to say this again. I need you. I need you more than I think you realize I need you. And I honestly don't know how to convey to every single one of you how much I need you. The youngest person in this room tonight, I think, is what? 10? 10 years old. I need this 10-year-old. You know why I need this 10-year-old? Because in 20 years, that 10-year-old is going to be 30. In 20 years, I'm going to be older than 30. Now, as much as I don't like to admit this, the longer I live, the more this body is going to slow down. Not just the way it is. If I live to be 90, it's going to be a 90-year-old body. And a 90-year-old body, unless there's some kind of unbelievable miracle that takes place, a 90-year-old body can't do what a 25-year-old can do. I need this 10-year-old. I need this 10-year-old now, doing what the 10-year-old can do. And if we had a 9-year-old, I'd say that about the 9. If I had a 5-year-old in here, I'd say that about the 5-year-old. I need them because they represent the continuation of what God is doing now. But for those of you who are beyond 10, we'll leave it at that. Those of you who are beyond 10, every single one of you, I don't care if you're 25, I don't care if you're 40, I don't care if you're 60, I honestly don't care how old you are, I need you. And I need you to fulfill your calling. And I need you to grow in that calling. You don't know how much I need you. Because I need to be able to have you help me in some of these areas when it comes... Let's use the word mentoring, okay? Some folks like that term, some people don't. But I need you to be spiritually prepared to help mentor other people. Because I can't do it all. And see, it's not just people here in the Bible college. It's people outside this church that are asking this. Asking me to help them. Well, why aren't they here, Brother Martin? You talk to them. Maybe in that mentoring process, things will change in that area. There are people outside this church. There are people in other countries. I have received, I don't know, two, three, four. Let's say three. I don't remember the exact number. Requests from people in other countries. They want me to be their spiritual head. They're not asking me to replace Jesus, okay? But they want me to have that position in their life. That's an awesome responsibility. You know what? That's three people. But what if it turns out to be 15 people sending me emails wanting me to do that? I need you in a position spiritually to where I can give them your email and say, this is the person who will do for you exactly what I could do for you because I did for them what they're going to do for you. So there's no difference. None at all. I really hope this is sinking in. And you know what? There are a lot of people out there, Christians, that wish they were in a church like this because they are trying. And they're doing as best they can with what information they have to grow spiritually. And they're chomping at the bit to do something. And they're in churches where they're pretty much shut down. And how frustrating that is. Now I want you to turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. One verse in this chapter. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered. That means fixed, firm, established, preset. Have you ever seen... You ever seen those little footprint things they put on the floor? It's supposed to teach you how to dance? Yeah, right. Like I'm going to learn from this. Okay, those dance steps are ordered of the dance instructor, okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, God knows every single one of you. He knows the steps that you need to be taking in the direction that He wants you to go for the fulfillment of what He's called you to do. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he goes on to say, and he delighteth in his way. The he that's doing the delighting is you. The his of his way is God. I'm the good man. I delight in the way that God has shown me. My steps are ordered of him. Okay, now let me ask you this question. For every single one of you in here tonight, I want you to think to yourself, the answer to this. What is the next step in your calling? What is the next step that God has ordered for you? Now, most people are going to say, and when I say most people, I don't mean necessarily here, but most Christians would say, I don't know. Okay? Then my question in response to that answer would be, why don't you know? Because even though you don't have the details for 5 years from now, you should at least know the next step. Where do you put your foot next? What's the next step in what He's called you to do? But Brother Martin, I can't quit my job right now. Whoa. Who said anything about quitting your job? All I said, well, what's the next step? I didn't say, how do you file for unemployment or Social Security or retirement? What's the next step? And besides that, such a response means you're looking to me and not to God. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, not of the pastor. What's the next step for you? What's the next thing you're supposed to be doing? This next step may take a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years. I don't know. It's all up to you. It's according to how you're growing in your walk with the Lord. But what is the next step that you're supposed to be taking? Let's look at another verse. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. What would be leaning to your understanding? But Brother Martin, I just don't know what I don't know how I can do. Brother, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to? That's leaning to your own understanding. Can I give you, I'm going to share this with you. I don't know how I am going to pay my bills 5 years from now. Brother Martin, I don't know how. I'm trusting God. Now, I know how I'm paying my bills now, but I don't know what's going to change between now and then. Maybe I won't be paying my bills. Maybe somebody will be paying them for me. Maybe somebody will be paying them for you. That's trusting in the Lord. In other words, it's saying, okay, God, I really don't know the 5 years from now. I don't know the one year from now. What's the next step? I'm trusting in you. You said you would direct my path. Now what am I supposed to do? He says, in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Well, God, this is what I think I should be doing. Now, it's okay to tell him that. But what's not okay is when you tell him that and then do it and then expect him to follow behind you. God, this is what I think, but nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. Direct my path. What's the next step, God? What do I need to do? Help me out here. And I realize that even saying this comes across as being so vague to people. I don't know. What is the next step? You know what? I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes. But first, I want you to turn to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the perfect, okay? Now, we don't have to look in this. I'll just give you references. Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10. It's talking about how that people living under the law could not be made perfect by the works of the law. By the works of the law. Now that word perfect, very simple explanation. That word perfect is talking about doing the works of the law could not cause you to become the righteousness of God. Or in other words, it could not cause you to become born again. That only could happen through Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, that's when we enter into the perfection that it's talking about relative in those passages. So when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I become perfect, or spiritually I've experienced the change. I become spiritually perfect, meaning I become the righteousness of God. I have that born-again spirit on the inside, that new nature. Now look what he says here in this verse, chapter 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. God, you said my steps are ordered. You said trust in you, lean on you, and that you would direct my path. How, God? And he says, here's your answer. The righteousness of the perfect will direct your path. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Grow up spiritually. In the spiritual maturity of who you become in Christ, which is the righteousness of God, that directs your path. Or in other words, the instructions that God gives you is going to be relative to you being His righteousness and His call on your life. He is not going to call you based upon who you think you are. And He's not going to call, or His calling on you isn't based upon what you wish you could be. Now, it's possible that what you think you are and what you wish you could be is what He's called you to be. That is a possibility. But His calling is based upon who you've become in Christ, and you have become the righteousness of God. This means that God is going to work with you on a righteousness level or a spiritual level. That's why over here, what we read a few moments ago, lean not to your own understanding. That's because most people, their understanding is coming from the soul realm, what they can reason out in their mind. And God says, I don't work on that level. I work on the righteousness level. I work on the spiritual level. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to communicate with you on that level so that you can become what I want you to be. And that's how your spiritual maturity takes place. Okay, now, a lot of people want something tangible. Brother Martin, I want to know what to do. Okay. I want that next step. Okay. But like you said, it's got to be related to righteousness. I understand. And it's not like, you know, I'm frustrated with God or anything, but it's like, I want something I can touch. You know, put it in writing. What can I do, Brother Martin? What can I do? I will tell you what to do. I've said this before. I'm going to tell you again. And tonight, you can consider it an instruction. Here's what you do. You pick one of those tape sets out there. Doesn't matter which one it is. Might want to pray about it. Say, well, God, is there, you know, draw my eyes to the one. You pick one of those tape sets. And you start with the first tape. And you put it in a tape player. This is easy to understand stuff, okay? You put it in a tape player. And before you push play, you make sure that you are either sitting at your computer with it turned on and a new document in front of you, ready for letters, and your Bible in front of you. And when that's ready to go, then you take your hand, doesn't matter which one, extend your pointer finger and push the play button on the tape player. And as soon as you do, take the same hand, grasp firmly to the volume knob, and adjust it to a comfortable level so that you can hear it. Then, you begin praying in the Spirit as you are listening to the voice on the tape, which will be mine, by the way. And as you're doing that, and when I say turn to, you turn to wherever it is. And as we're reading, you read along. The whole time, you're praying in the Spirit, ever so softly. And as you do, you start taking notes. And if you don't have a computer, then you get yourself some paper and a pen. And if I get ahead of you, you remember the finger you used to push the play button? You push either the stop or the pause button until you catch up to where I was. In the event that the Holy Spirit begins to take over, you do not concern yourself any longer with the tape. You tippy-tap on your keyboard or write with your ink pen those things that the Holy Spirit is giving you. When He stops, then you extend that finger once again and go back to listening to the tape. And you do that with the first tape. From the beginning of the tape to the end of the tape. That means when side one of the tape is over, you turn the tape over and play side two, continuing this process. Come on, Brother Martin, No, this is what you do. I am giving to you tonight your next step. You say, well, Brother Martin, but it says that the Lord's supposed to give me my next step. You remember a few moments ago I asked you what the next step is you're supposed to do, and you sat there and in your mind you thought, I don't know? And how long have you not known? A week? Month? Year? Two? Five? How long have you not known? Now you know what to do. You say, well, how's this going to help me, Brother Martin? Here's how. Remember at the beginning how we looked at over there in Hebrews 11, 39, and 40? We read those two verses, and I said, what do they mean? And you thought in your mind, I don't have a clue. Then I told you I do know, and you were hoping I would tell you, but I told you I'm not. But I told you come on Sunday mornings, you might hear something about it somewhere along the line. Doing this, what I just described, this process, this next step, is going to help you to come to a greater understanding of God's Word. Now remember what I told you about truth? How that whatever your calling is, that's how you're going to perceive truth. It won't be a different truth than what I see or somebody else sees. It's just that it's going to be something that you'll see and it will work in you for the perfecting of the call. Now, if you don't do this, you say, well, how do you know this is going to work? Because that is in part what got me to where I am today. And other people that I've told to do this, that have done it, I get the same report from every single one of them. No exception. This works! My goodness! I did what you said! Put the tape on, started playing, praying in the Spirit, following along in the Bible, and typing on my keyboard, and then all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Ghost started saying things about this passage, and it's like He started showing me some other things about it, and He started taking me to other passages and other verses and other books, and He started tying some things together, and it's like I didn't get back to the tape for a half an hour. And I was only 10 minutes into it when this happened. It works. Every person, without exception, who's done this has come back and given me the same report. This is how I know it works. You know why? One of the reasons why it works is because you are directing your attention to the things of God. Remember what I told you earlier about how I just provide information? All you're doing when you're listening to the tape is receiving information. That's what you're doing. And as you're receiving the information and praying in the Spirit and following along in the Word, the Holy Spirit is able to take that information from being head stuff and convert it into spiritual reality for you. And the more that it's converted into spiritual reality is the more it helps you conform to the fullness of your calling. And the more that you conform to the fullness of your calling is the more that you get yourself ready for God to say, I'm moving you up to the next step. It's the more that God can speak to me and say, now this person's ready for this and that person's ready for that. And you can ask this person to start teaching in the Bible college and you can have this person do that. It's when God begins to speak to me about these things, He begins to show. And the thing is, it's not like I have to go hunting for it. It starts coming out of you. It just happens. You say, how? Lean not to your own understanding. It just starts coming out. I don't know how I ended up here tonight. I just started doing things. Next thing you know, here I am. Woke up this morning and this is where I was supposed to be. But I know what I did, and I know the change that took place. But you know what? When I started doing this, what I've described to you, when I started doing it, I didn't know I would be here tonight. I didn't know in fact, when I started doing it, I didn't know where I would be 6 months from the day I started doing it. But I knew, on the inside of me, I knew what was going to happen. I knew it was going to change me. And I knew it was going to prepare me. And I knew that it was going to help me stay on the path that God had set before me. So I'm sharing this with you tonight. And what I'm giving you tonight is a tangible something, the next step you can do. And this next step is going to help you to prepare more greatly for what God's called you to do. And it's going to help you to become more spiritually prepared to help me. And then you'll get to the point to where you're going to be able to sit down with somebody and you're going to be able to say, turn over to Hebrews 11. Now look at verses 39 and 40. Now read that with me. Do you know what that means? They're going to say, I ain't got a clue. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, do you know? And you're going to say, yep. They're going to say, were you going to tell me? And you're going to say, nope, not right now. I'm going to give you some time to meditate on it. Here's what I want you to do. Another thing along with the tapes, the tapes is where you want to start. I mean, you can do this next thing as well, You take a book, Ephesians, and you start reading it slowly. And you don't look up every word, you just pray in tongues while you're reading it. And you begin tippy-tapping or writing what God gives you, what the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you're reading this and praying in the Spirit. And you know what happens? This helps you conform as well. But I recommend you start with the tapes. You want to know why? It's because too many people get frustrated when they read the Bible.
Who can understand this stuff?
So start with the tapes. The tapes will help you get to the place to where when you get into the Word, you're going to say, huh, I don't understand this yet, but you know what? I'm going to. Because I know what it's going to take for me to understand this. I'm going to know it. You hear that, God? I'm going to understand your Word. And He says, that's what I want. That's the goal. I want you to understand it. So, your next step, your instruction, your tangible thing to do. What can I do? Give me an assignment, Brother Martin. Give me an assignment. You have your assignment. Get a tape set and do this. But Brother Martin, I don't have time. You know what you just told me? You don't have time for God. You don't have time for your calling. So why are you fussing about the fact you don't know what it is? I'm telling you what to do. I am guaranteeing if you do this. Now, I'm not promising, you know, overnight results, but I'm guaranteeing you if you do this, the change is going to come. I guarantee it. You can't. How can you not do this? How can you not accomplish this? How can you go wrong when you're reading the Bible, taking notes, and praying in the Spirit? How can you miss it? You can't. It's just that this is a tangible something, a tangible assignment that you can do, and it's going to produce the results. Guaranteed it will produce the results, but you have to do it. And do you have time? That's the kind of thing you're going to have to work out. I don't know what your life is, but I'll tell you this. If your life is so packed, you can't do what I just described, you can't give at least an hour a day to doing something like this, you've got some real issues in your life that need to be dealt with. And I don't know what they are. But if you can't at least give an hour to doing something like this, then why do you think you're ever going to really understand what you're called to do? And why do you think that you're ever going to be promoted by God into the fullness of that calling? Why do you think that you're ever going to be placed in a position here? Why do you think that I would ever come to you and say, I need you to do this teaching for me, or go here? Why would you think that? Unless the spiritual, remember, it's out of the righteousness that the path, the direction comes. If you're not going to do this thing to work with your righteousness, there's nothing I can do. And over the years, I've met people, I've known people, that when I look at them, I know that if they would only do this, they would be in a position to where I would be able to use them. But some folks just don't want to do it. And so I don't know what they expect. Well, they're kind of hoping like you know, Tinkerbell is going to come with some genie dust and blow it on them, and all of a sudden they're going to be, you know, super prophet or something like that. I don't know. But I'm telling you now, it won't happen that way. Read the story of Paul in the book of Acts. Gets saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, ball of fire. Comes in contact with the apostles. You know what they told him to do? Go home, Paul. Go home. You know what he did? He went home. What did he do when he was at home? He prayed in the Spirit. How do you know that? Just read. It doesn't say, I went home and prayed in the Spirit. But all you have to do is read what happened in this guy's life, and you're going to know that he prayed in the Spirit. Because he talks about how that when he got back in touch with these guys like years later on, and they were comparing doctrine, he said, they didn't add anything to me. I didn't receive teaching from them, but when we got to talking about what, we compared our notes, we started listening to each other's tapes. We're preaching and teaching the same thing. So I know what Paul did when he went home. He prayed in the Spirit. And man, oh man, look at the revelation he got from God. So, You want to know what your next step is? I've given it to you tonight. This is, those of you listening by tape, you may not have any of our tapes. You may not have the tape catalog. And the tape that you're listening to, it might be bootleg, meaning somebody made a copy of it, and there's no label on there. So you can write to me, Pastor Jim Martin at Grace Christian Center, and send your request to our post office box, P.O. Box 291962, Dayton, Ohio, 45429. Brother Martin, would you repeat that? No, stop the tape, rewind. Listen to it again. Request a catalog of our tape sets, and we'll send you a catalog of our tape sets. Well, gosh, Brother Martin, are they expensive? No. We don't charge for our tape sets. So, everybody now has the opportunity to do this. You know what? You know as they say? The ball is in your court. You either do this or you don't. You say, well, Brother Martin, let me ask you a question. Why does it have to be your tapes? Why can't it be somebody else's? Here's why. It's because I'm the pastor of the church, and this is the church you attend. Put it like this. I'm the voice. My voice is the voice of the shepherd. God has directed you here. And because of that, He's wanting you to hear from me what He gives to me. Now, if you were going to another church, you'd want to listen to that pastor's tapes. Now, you could listen to mine too, but you'd want to listen to that pastor's tapes. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? By what I mean? That's why the tape's here. So now, if you do this, the change is going to come. And that's exciting to me. Because that means hallelujah. I will see you grow and develop into what God has called you to do. Dave Roberson, he says it like this, show me your dust. At first I didn't know what he meant by that. Show me your dust. Oh, I get it. Pass me up till the only thing I see is a dust trail in front of me. So, show me your dust. Hallelujah. You can do this. You can do it.